Well, another real quick announcement that we forgot to make is that this Thursday's Bible study that we normally have at Dunkin' Donuts will be canceled. Just to let you guys know, we'll be taking a little bit of a break. We'll start again in January. So, again, this Thursday's Bible study at Dunkin' will be canceled, just to let you guys know. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. It may be a non-typical Christmas passage that we're used to reading, but it's something that I think is very important. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, in which we light the fourth candle. It is known as the candle of love. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the love of someone that you just were taken back and you didn't know what to do? Maybe it's the generosity. Maybe it's just the forgiveness. Maybe it's just how someone has come and interacted with you. And you're like, whoa, I got to take a step back here for a moment. This is just not normal. Having the love of someone and having that interaction with you that is just unexpected. In the world today, it's very interesting because anytime someone shares love with us, it's almost unexpected. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. I was, this past week, I was at the grocery store, and if anyone ever goes grocery shop, if I ever tell you I'm going grocery shopping the week before Christmas, please remind me not to. But as I was in the store, I was walking down the aisleway, and this younger lady walks by me, and she goes, "Merry Christmas, I love you." And I'm like, "Excuse me?" And she said, "Merry Christmas, I love you." And I said, "You don't know me. How do you love me?" And at that point, she reaches down and sets her phone down. She goes, "I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person on the phone." This is a true story, by the way. This actually did happen. And so I was like, "Well, I love you too. Merry Christmas." And I turned around and walked away as quickly as possible as I could. The truth of the matter is though, when we show love to complete strangers, it seems unnatural. It doesn't seem right. I remember once in my business world days, I was talking on the phone and I was talking to these vendors, and this gentleman calls me up, and I had literally just got off the phone with my wife. And you know how all husbands and wives do as they're talking to each other on the phone. You hang up the phone by going, "Hey, have a great day, sweetie. Love you. Bye." And you hang up the phone, right? Well, I'm talking to a vendor. You probably know where this is going. And I said, "Goodbye, sweetie, love you." And I hung up the phone. The phone immediately rang minutes later. Not even minutes, seconds later. And he goes, "Jason, I don't know you all that well, and I feel really uncomfortable you call me sweetie." I said, "You don't have any problem with me telling you I love you?" And he goes, "Nah, that's a little strange too, but the sweetie part really threw me for a loop." The sad reality of these stories is that love seems to only be shown in relationships that you know someone really, really deeply. Husband and wives experience love. Sons and daughters, with our parents, with your parents, the experience of family members. That love is natural. That's what comes about this. One more quick story. I was on recently on a school trip with my wife, and we are taking the kids to see. They actually sang with Point of Grace. I know everyone under the age of about 30 are like going, "Who's Point of Grace?" They used to be a really cool Christian duet. They're still really good singers, by the way, but older ladies. And like when I say older, that's sad because they're like my age. So I know I'm like, I feel bad. But anyway, as we're on this bus trip, I hear this seventh grader talking to her friends, and her friend, she goes, "I think I love this boy she's talking to on the phone." And I was sitting there and I was biting my tongue thinking, I need to say something to this girl. And then one of the other girls beside her goes, "Love? You don't even know what love is. You're hardly out of diapers." Well, she was also in eighth grade, mind you. One was in seventh grade, the other one was in eighth grade. As I started to laugh, I started to hear this conversation that was going on, and they were talking about not even knowing what it means to be in love, and they started having this conversation on the bus, mind you, about what it means to be in love. The conversation went like this: "Well, he's really nice to me. That means he loves me. He sends me the heart emoji, so that means he loves me. He even opened the door for me to go into the school building." That was her measurement of love. And as I sat there, I'm thinking about the sermon that I'm about ready to preach this week, and I'm thinking to myself, I really need to explain to her what love really is. And I just heard them talking, and she said, "Well, what do you think?" The seventh grader asked this other eighth grader, "What do you think love is?" And out of the blue, this is one of the wonderful things about where my wife teaches, the little girl goes, "I know what the love is. The love, true love, is the love of Jesus Christ." And my heart melted and I laughed in my seat and I was like, "You go, girl." Love is something that we all are in tune to. We understand when we're loved. We understand when we're being loved. But the love that we understand in this world today is much like the song Aretha Franklin sang back in the 60s. It's all about respect, right? R-E-S-P-C-T. I'm not going to sing it, but you can all understand the song that I'm thinking of. The truth of the matter is that we don't love someone unless they do something for us in return. Love in this world today has been delegated to, if you are nice to me, I will be nice back to you. If you love me, I will love you back. It is a give and take type of relationship. But that is not how the love of Christ is at all. Oftentimes when you think of the love that God has for us, we think of John 3:16, one of the most famous verses. You see it on sport. Last night I saw it at the Ohio State game. Someone's always holding a poster. It says John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And so this verse is the basis of what it means, that God loved us so much so that he gave his only son to die on a cross for you and I. Well, that verse shows us just how much God loves us. We need to understand, and also it shows the depth of his love for us. We have to understand that any love that we have on this earth is formed and starts with him. Our relationships that we have here on this earth, whether you're married or you're here dating or you're here single, it doesn't matter. The relationships, we all have some type of relationship in our lives that we are expressing love to someone. And we have to ask ourselves, what is that basis? What is that foundation? What causes that love to be so in our hearts? Is it because that person has done something nice to us? Is it because that person has shown us respect? Is it because that person has opened the doors of the school building for us? Or is it something else? We have to find out what true love really is. Now, you might look at me and say, "Why are we doing a love? It's Christmas. It's not Valentine's Day." Well, listen, love is other times other than just February 14th, by the way. Okay? In fact, Christmas, I believe, is all about love. Why? Because God chose to send Jesus down to this earth for us. Because why? Because he loved us. Today, we're going to take a look at this love. We're going to take a look at what it means to wonder again in that type of love. Because really, the Christmas season is the greatest example of love that we can find. that starts on Christmas and is fulfilled even more so on Resurrection Sunday. Let's pray and we'll jump into First John chapter 4. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you. We thank you for these wonderful kids, and they're such a blessing and beautiful voices, Father. And even as sometimes chaotic as it might be, trying to pull all these kids together and do this, Lord, it's such a beautiful picture to see you shining through them, Father, as they sing these songs and stand before you. Lord, it's also this season of Christmas when we look upon and we thank you for the birth of your Son, how you, Jesus, came to this earth for us. And a time when you shared the love that you have for us, that we can relish in that love. Lord, help us today to understand that Christmas is this time of love. Help us to wonder again at the depths of the love that you had for us and how we can, in turn, love others because of what you have done. Lord, we thank you, we glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that my words are not my own, but they truly be your words, Father, and that you'd speak to us. Holy Spirit, come and enlighten our minds today. Lead us and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, again, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John, not John, I'm sorry, I might have said John earlier, but it's 1 John chapter 4. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Those are some pretty amazing words to be spoken. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, listen, we've talked about this. It's interesting to me as years have gone by, this idea of love. I'm sure if you're all here today, you remember the first time you told someone, I love you. I remember the first time, now this might seem a little weird and he's going to get embarrassed by this, but I remember the first time he told me he loved me. I'm like, oh, that's a little strange, Pastor Chaz. But it's true, right? It wasn't strange at all. We shouldn't feel strange by telling someone, I love you. Love is an emotion that is born out of our heart that comes from today. When we look at this, the love that we have on this earth is caused by the emotion that has come forward, the well wishes that we have for someone. It's like saying, I want to wish a blessing upon that person. I am wishing them love. But 1 John tells us that if we do not love, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So we have to understand this verse. We have to understand what he is saying here. And what he's saying is that, first of all, God is love. So when we experience love, when we experience this, what we are doing is we are experiencing that some way, some shape, some form, at the baseline of all of these things that we are experiencing God. When you express love from one person to another, you are doing that because God is in us and wants to us. Now, does that mean every person who shares love with someone knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? No, not at all. But when you express love, you are mimicking what God has done for us, because God is love. And so for us to love someone, we are expressing God in our lives to that other person. When we feel love, when we feel like someone is loving us, we are also experiencing a little bit of God inside of us. What we find is very, very interesting is that our English language does a very poor job of translating this word love. There's many versions of love in Scripture that we find, and we don't have time to go through all of these, but basically there's all kinds of different forms of love. Our English language takes all of those forms of that feeling, that emotion, that love, and they condense it into this one four-letter word. That's love, just in case you're wondering. But love, in scriptural terms, is way different than what we do. The greatest form of love that Scripture shows to us is called agape. Agape is the love that God has for us. The love that God has for us, meaning agape, means that there is no requirements to that love. He just loves because of who he is. It is the greatest, it's his agape love that caused Jesus to come down to this earth, to be born in a manger. It's his agape love that caused his son to die on a cross for us. It's his agape love that causes us to have a relationship with him. Not because we can do anything. Listen, there's nothing that any of us, any of you, any of us in this room can do to cause God to love us. He already does. That's who God is. God is love. So he loves us regardless. And this is a really hard thing for our human minds to grasp a hold of, because our human minds say that you have to do something nice to me in order for me to love you. And God says, no, I love you because I created you. I love you because of who I am, not because of who you are. And so it is possible for us, if we're following God, for us to love someone even though they treat us poorly. That doesn't mean you sit there and take it. I'm not telling you to be a format, or I'm not telling you to be abused by someone. But what I'm saying is that it is actually possible for you to love someone who doesn't love you in return, because you are following scriptural commands of God, because God is love. He loves us because of how great he is, not because we have done something great back for him. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to move on, verses 9 through 10, says, In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that he might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be our propitiation for our sins. Oh, now there's a word. A lot of pastors will stay this word propitiation, and we'll get to it here in a moment. But let's dive in just for a moment. See, what we have to understand is that in this love, God was made manifest among us. God's greatest love, he is God. He's bringing, and in that love, out of that love, is manifested Jesus. That is why Jesus is here and came to this earth. This is what we celebrated this time, is that through God's love, he manifested and brought his Son down to this earth. That was the greatest form of love that could ever be shown to us, is for God to leave his heavenly realm, his protection, his beauty, everything that he has in heaven, and come down to the place that was us, where we are here. And by the way, do you ever notice, I love Christmas time, because Jesus wasn't born in the hospital, as the video said before, as one of the little kids said. He was born in a manger. Anyone ever been in a barn before and seen a manger? You know what's inside a manger? There's some stuff in there. And when I say stuff, I'm not talking about good stuff, right? Go spend some time in a barn. And if you need some more examples, you can come help me clean out my chicken coop. Let's try that. You'll get to know exactly what's inside that manger and what's inside those barns. But the truth of reality is that God chose to come down in the most humble of ways because he was expressing his love for us. But do you understand that Jesus is not up in heaven sitting on the throne of a manger? Heaven is a beautiful place. It's perfect. It's wonderful. There's gold. And as far as, I mean, if you read Revelations, you see the beauty of what's in heaven. And for him to leave that place and come down to a place that's full of hay, smells, an animal byproduct. That was one of the ways that he was showing his love for us. He sacrificed. This is what this word propitiation, it says God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation is a word that is in essence saying he was the sacrifice. He was our offering, if you will. When you do something wrong, if you hurt someone or you are arrested for a crime that you've done, you have a penalty to pay. You have to sacrifice your time and your life, and you have to pay the penalty. That's the circumstances of your action. And what has happened here, this word propitiation, is the fulfillment of that penalty. The fulfillment of that sacrifice. He's doing for us. He's paying our penalty. He is dying on the cross for you and I. In the greatest form of love, that's what Jesus does. See, because love sacrifices. Love, true love has a cost, and it sacrifices for the one that is receiving the love. If you are going to love someone, you're going to have to sacrifice something. If you're going to love your wife, if you're going to love your significant, the person who you're in a relationship with, or you're going to love a friend, or you're going to love a family member, you're going to have to sacrifice something. If you're not sacrificing something, then that love could actually be said, is it true? The question could be asked, is that true love? Because the simple fact is that if we are just worried about ourselves, if we are not humbling ourselves, if we are not sacrificing ourselves for the other person, then what is the level of that love for someone else? If God is love, God sacrificed his son to come down to this earth for us. That means your love that you have for someone is going to cost something. This is not a common theme that we like to hear. Again, in this world that we live in, the world that we live in is all about, how do I make myself feel better? I want to live in this place. I need someone to come and do this for me, and I need someone to do that. Jesus says, take a step back. Humble thyself before the Lord. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. Why do you think Jesus says all of those things? He doesn't say all of those things because he wants to do all of those things. He's teaching us to be humble, to sacrifice ourselves so that we can have that true love grow through us. True love sacrifices for the one that is receiving the love. It is a part of why we share gifts this time of the year. I don't know anyone that goes throughout the year and says, I can't wait till Christmas because I want to spend all my money on the people that I barely see, right? Or I want to spend all my money and go into debt and do all these things. No, that's not the way Christmas is supposed to be. See, the truth of the matter is that we sacrifice, we give gifts at this time of the year because we are expressing our love. We are sacrificing some of our hard-earned time and money to buy gifts for the people that we love, to share with them, to sacrifice for them. That's what gift giving is all about. You're taking some of what you have, you're purchasing a gift, and you're giving it to someone else. Love sacrifices. 1 John chapter 4, verses 11 through 21 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's a whole mouthful. But the truth of the reality is, what is being said here is that when Jesus came to this earth, he perfected love. When Jesus chose to come down in the way that he did, to be a baby in the manger, sacrificing his place in heaven to be on this earth, what he's doing is he's showing us the greatest form of love. By this love, he perfected us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Now, I want to just say this for one moment. If you're here today and you have given your life to Jesus Christ, what that means is that you have come and you've asked him and you have accepted him for the penalty of what he did the penalty for your sins. You have accepted his sacrifice, his atonement, his payment, if you will, for that. Then you have love inside of you. You have the opportunity to share that love with others. The question is, what are you doing with that love? Because what this verse tells us is that it's by his blood, by his love, that we are made perfect. Do you understand that it is Jesus' love inside of us as we express love towards others, that that is what's going to perfect us and who we are? That is going to prepare us for the days to come, the times to come, because when we leave this earth and we enter into heaven, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then our last days here on this earth and our first days in heaven will experience no greater form of love than that. It'll be the greatest moment of time where love is just all around us. It's incomprehensible for our minds to grasp a hold of what that love will look like and what that love will be. But while we're here on this earth, we are to be perfected with and in his love. That means you and I are called to grow in the love of Christ, to learn how to love each other, to love one another. Again, it's really easy to love one another when you do something really nice for someone. Right? I mean, if you're here and someone comes up to you and says, I have a gift for you, Casey, here it is. I'm going to give you this gift. It's probably going to be easy for Casey to look back at me and says, I love you, brother. I added the brother part, right? But if someone comes up and slaps you in the side of the face, is it easy for you to say, I love you? No, it's not. God calls us to love and to be perfected in his love. But that requires us to learn to love one another. We live in a world where love is only given. It is if it's first received. Yet that is not the love that Jesus did, and thank God it isn't. Because there's nothing that we could have done to make Jesus love us any more than what he already did. Do you understand that? There's nothing that any of you in this room, anyone in this world could do to make, there's no amount of money, there's no amount of gifts, there's no amount of time served, there's nothing that you can do to make that person, make Jesus love you more than what he already does. Jesus came to this earth giving up his place in heaven, as we said before. He was tempted. He was born in a manger first. He was then tempted. He would walk this earth. He would be beaten and eventually killed on a cross. Those are all forms of the greatest love that our Savior has for you and I. Jesus didn't lavish us with love so that we could become bloated with his love. I had this vision as I was writing the sermon that, you know, sometimes we as Christians, we as people who love Jesus are up here and we're just, it's like a big funnel and we're taking all the love that he has for us and we're stuffing it down our throats. It's like Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the great days all together. And we're beginning to get bloated and we're beginning to be so filled with that love. That's not the way that Jesus intended that to be. Jesus intended to love us and share all of this love with us and to fill us up and love us so lavishly so that we could then go out and love others as lavishly as he's loved us. It is our job to go out and share with them the love that we have, not only for them, but also that he has for us. His love was intended to be poured out on others through us. I'm sure it's easy to look at and say, there's people in my life I need to love better. There's people in my life I need to do a better job. But you know what? There's people out there that really need your love that you don't even know today. There's people out there that you know that have done something negative towards you that need your love today too. Some of those people aren't going to experience God's propitiation. They're not going to experience that until you share a love that goes beyond what this world says. To say thank you, to say I love you, to say here I'm doing something kind for you. Find ways to share love because that is what we are called to do. We are called to love one another. And by loving one another, we are being perfected in the love of Jesus. I'm going to take just a real quick side note. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do for someone is tell them the truth. Amen. Sometimes the most loving thing that you can do is walk up to them, put your arm around them, and begin to have a real conversation with them. I know there's been times in my life where I needed someone to have that type of conversation with me, and I was so thankful that they did. Because I wasn't living the life that I needed to do. I wasn't doing the things I should have been doing. And I needed someone to call me out on that. Now you could go up to someone and say, stop doing what you're doing, you're being an idiot. You could walk up and say, I can't believe you're doing that. Or you can walk up and you can put your arm around them and say, listen, I don't know if that's the right way to do it. But I'm here to help you, I'm here to love you, and I'm here to walk with you. That's the love that Jesus had for us. Do you know Jesus often called out sins that he had for that people had that he experienced again and again and again, over and over and over again in Scripture? We find when Jesus interacted with someone, he always called out, not only he always called out what they were doing. There was something wrong that person was doing, and he would spend time with that person. But you know what? They never walked away feeling mad. They never walked away. Why? Because Jesus loved that person. The love in his eyes, the love in his face, the experiential love that he was giving to that person was greater than telling them something that they needed to change or improve on. See, sadly, we have lost much of this type of love in our culture. We look for love in the strangest of places, and we seek what makes us feel better, not what makes us be more loving like Christ. Love today has become something that is, well, worldly. We have found love in many different places, and we find love that is being repeated in places that should never be repeated, in words that should never be shared. Instead, God calls us to love like him, calls us to reach down and love as he loved us, lavishing upon us his love, so that we can then, in return, give it to others. Perhaps Jesus did this so that you and I could learn to love the people around us, our neighbors. Love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Jesus had all of these wonderful comments and wonderful ideas about how we are to love one another. And if we would listen and pay attention, none of that has to do with anything with how we feel. Jesus doesn't tell us to go love our neighbors if they're nice. He tells us to go love our neighbors. Jesus tells us to share the love with people around us, regardless of whether we feel like it, whether we're tired, whatever circumstances we place upon it. Qualifiers, if you will. Jesus just tells us to go be that love. So I want to ask you this question in closing. What would it be like if we loved like Jesus? What would the world be like if we would learn to love our neighbors as Jesus told us to love our neighbors? What would it be like if we learned to love our family if we loved like what Jesus said? What would it be like if we chose to do... Listen, it doesn't mean that you have to... This is the biggest misconception that we make, is that love has to mean that we agree with everything that each other says, and that's absolutely false. I can totally disagree with you 100% about any subject and still love you. Love has nothing to do with agreement. Love has to do with a feeling. It has everything to do with your heart and what you're doing with it. Are you sharing Christ with others? What if we just loved people the way that Jesus loved us? What if we just accepted people? And when I say accepted people, I'm not saying accept them for what, I'm not saying agree again with everything they do, but what if we just loved them for being human beings? What if we got back to loving the way that Jesus loved? What if we got back to just saying, hey, listen, I don't agree with you, but I love you. What if we made saying, I love you, not weird? What if we made saying, I love you, actually mean something? In the world we live in today, again, love is based upon what we have done for someone else. And that's something that we can do. We can love someone and share kindness with someone and share Christ with them without agreeing with everything that they say or do, without theologically aligning with them in every point that they have, without understanding. See, I believe that when Jesus came to this earth, he came to this earth to love us in the greatest of ways. He came without any pre-qualifications. He came without any expectations of us to do anything. He chose to love us. And scripture tells us in John, 1 John that we just read, that God is love. And so what if we get back to loving people the way that God loved them? What if we get back to loving as in the way he does? Loving us without pre-qualifications. Loving each other without expectations. Just loving them for who they are. That they are God breathed. They are God blessed people on this earth. What would the world look like if we were that way? I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, please. It doesn't fit. Fits my pinky. There's a little ring. If someone lost a ring, one of their child lost a ring or something, I have it up here. If not, I'm wrapping it up and give it to my wife for Christmas. So, Kitty. Yeah. Please don't tell her. She can't watch this video. I'm kidding. I encourage you just for a moment. Christmas is just 3 days away. Yes, husbands, it's time to shop for your wives if you haven't already. No, 3 days. But the truth of the matter is that this is the greatest season of love that there ever is. Throw out Valentine's Day because Valentine's Day has nothing to do with, it has nothing compared to this season. Sweetest Day has nothing to do with what this season is all about. Why? Because all of that love is based upon action. The love that we have on Valentine's Day, the love that we have on Sweetest Day, the love that we have other times has to do with something and how that person has treated us. The love that we experience on Christmas was given to us freely by someone who loves you so deeply you'll never understand that love until you get to be at his feet in heaven. The truth of the matter is that we are called to be that type of love for others. To have no expectations, I can truly go up to this man and say, I love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
And I don't expect him to give me anything. And he doesn't expect me to give him anything. Now, I would die for him, and he would die for me. But there's no other expectation than to share the love that God has between us. When can we stop this idea that the world has created that love has to do with someone loving us first instead of us loving as God loved us? If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may I tell you that there is nothing that you have done or can do to get Jesus to love you any more than what he already does. What that means is that there's nothing that you can offer to him. There's no offering, there's no money, there's no prize, there's no amount of anything that you can bring to him to say, Jesus, I need you to love me more. Nothing. But as great as that is, it also means that there's nothing that you have done that keeps him from loving you. Nothing. There is no pre-qualifications to God's love. You can be the worst human being that there ever was to walk this face of the earth, and I guarantee you that none of you in this room are that person. But you could be, and Jesus would still love you. Because he is love. And he calls us to be that love for others. To pour it out. To give it out. Not to just sit here and take. It's time that we experience and share the love of Christ with all of those around us. And I can't think of a better time to do it than this day when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth out of love for you and I. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love that you have for us and how much you love us, Lord Jesus. It's so awesome that you love us in the way that you do, and that we can't do anything. There's nothing that we can do to make you love us more. You love us so much now, Father. And so, Lord Jesus, we come before you today and we're asking, Father, come and share that love with us. Help us to experience that greater form of love that comes only from you. Father, if there's someone here or watching at home online that has never given their life to you, has never accepted that love for you, that sacrifice, that propitiation for our sins that you have paid, that penalty that you paid on that cross for us, may today be that day. May today be the day where they say, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done. As Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts that he died on the cross for us, then we too can have everlasting eternal life with him. And so it's just simply saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and help me to follow you. I accept what you did on that cross for me. If you said those words for the first time, congratulations, you're part of the kingdom of God. You are eternally sealed and delivered in God. Maybe you've already said those words, though, and we're here today and we're struggling. We haven't loved people the way that we need to love them. We have been looking for them to do something for us so that we in turn can love them. May we learn to love the way that Jesus loves us. Father, we ask you, help us to love people, not in our terms, not in the way that we see fit, but love them in the way that you would have them to be loved. May they experience this greater form of love that comes only from you, Father. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with them. It doesn't mean that we have to 100% walk in line with everything that they say, but we just love them because we are experiencing and showing the love of Christ with them. So Lord, help us to do that today. Forgive us where we have not loved the world the way that you have. And help us to walk in that love. Help us to wander in that love today, Father. Be awestruck by that kind of love. May we normalize saying, I love you. Because there's nothing wrong with that, Father. Especially when we are know and we abide in you, because that is the love that we are sharing with others. Lord, thank you. Lead us and guide us this Christmas season. These next few days, may we celebrate you and your birth and what that means and how we can relish in the love that you have so lavishly given to us, even though we never deserved it. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together.
He is jealous for me. Runs like a hurricane. I am a tree, bending a knee. The way of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your reflections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
salvation by the grace is ours. With grace is an ocean where all seekers. So heaven meets earth, must be rocky with grit, and heart turned violently, solid my chest. I don't have the time to maintain each breath when I think about.
That many of us, many of you, may not have ever experienced a type of love from someone. In the world that we live in, it's hard to believe, but there are many times when we just don't understand this type of love. This type of love that Jesus gives to us will love you regardless of who you are. Will love you regardless of what you've done. Will love you regardless of what you have said. He just loves you. Doesn't mean that all of those things are right. It just means that he loves you regardless of all of those things. Can we do that today, this Christmas season? Can we love like Jesus? Can we go out and share that love with others? That type of love that will go to your brother or sister and put your arm around them and say, I love you. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you are doing, or regardless of what you might do or might say, I still love you. That's the love that God has for us and the love that he calls us to walk in with others. Can we do that this season, this Christmas time? Can we share that love? And can it extend from this day forward until the Lord comes home again to draw us back to him, where we celebrate that greatest form of love that there ever was and ever will be and ever is, the love that God has for us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this season. Lord, help us to walk in that love. Help us to be your hands and feet, pouring out the love that you have so lavishly given us to others. We walk in that love everywhere we go, being reminded that we love them, not because they first loved us, but because of who you are in us and through us. We can love the people around us. Help us to do that today. We do love you, Lord. We do glorify you. We do honor you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, amen. God bless you all. Merry Christmas. Hope to see you at the Christmas Eve service. We'll see you again soon.